The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us this morning is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Janet, are you with us yet? Okay, she'll be along later in the broadcast. I want to start off, you know, talking about, you know, the question that all of us really needs to find an answer to, and that is, what makes us sick? And of course, it's probably a little bit different for everybody, because we all have different bad habits that may undermine our health. But I'm not just talking about the obvious ones like cigarette smoking or lack of exercise. It's really the food we eat, I think, is probably the major culprit as to why we get sick and have difficulty getting better. And here's an example of that. And this is from Dr. Walter Willard, MD, PhD from Harvard Medical School. He is the second most cited scientist in the entire field of clinical medicine. And he takes he disagrees with the government's recommendation concerning milk intake. Because milk is not the same today as what it used to be. The government tells us in order to maintain strong bones and promote good health, you need to drink 3 glasses of milk every single day. And that's according to the official U.S. Department of Agriculture guidelines. But there are a lot of reasons that this may not be a good idea. Now, remember, too, I said one of the ways of thinking about things is just imitate nature. In other words, the more you deviate from nature's original intent, the more likely you are to run into problems. And if you think about it, no other animal drinks the milk of another animal, and they don't drink it beyond their infancy period. And yet humans decided that it's a good idea to drink milk other than their mothers. Well, here's what milk is, and this is the problem. It's a highly processed, milk-like substance that's been heavily altered through pasteurization, homogenization, and the addition of synthetic vitamins and minerals, making it a processed food that provides little in the way of actual nutrition. And the idea that drinking processed milk somehow strengthens bones is an industry myth, but it's an industry, maybe a myth, but it's not an industry myth. It's according to the industry. They just want you to, you know, drink milk. Now, another doctor you may have heard of, Dr. Mark Hyman, MD, a leading nutritionist and expert, he says milk and dairy products in general are something that people should avoid at all costs. Not only is milk a pro-inflammatory food, but more precisely the kind that's processed, but it's also counterintuitive in terms of strengthening bones and reducing one's risk of disease. And here are the reasons why. The calcium in milk isn't as bone protective as we've all been led to believe. Studies show that vitamin D, magnesium, and other nutrients are more important for strengthening bones than calcium. And the calcium in the milk, when consumed by itself, may actually increase one's risk of bone problems. So I want to say that again. If you're worried about osteoporosis, you want to make sure that your vitamin D levels are optimal, your magnesium levels are optimal, because osteoporosis, despite what you've been told, is not a calcium deficiency. It's a deficiency of these other nutrients. You also want to be tested the right way and not with a bone density, which compares you to a 25-year-old. So naturally, you're going to fail that test. But there's another test. It's a urine test that measures N-telopeptides, and that's a marker of bone loss. And if you're not losing excess bone based on that test, that means you've given your body the essential nutrients to prevent actual bone loss. Now, if you're still losing excess bone, the other things besides vitamin D and magnesium, increase your exercise, and perhaps you have to pay attention to your hormone levels, like progesterone in particular, and estrogen as well. Here's the other problem. When you drink processed milk, because of the pasteurization, all the enzymes needed for proper digestion are gone. The lactase enzyme that digests lactose is destroyed, and the stomach can't digest the milk properly. That's why a lot of people can't tolerate the milk. And then here's something that you need to think about as well. Drinking processed milk can actually increase your risk of cancer, and that's because the calcium in milk has been shown to increase a man's risk of prostate cancer by up to 50%, and also found in milk are insulin-like growth factors, a hormone that's known to promote the development of cancer. So that's one area. So I'm not saying give up milk 100%, but try and, you know, probably cut back on your intake of milk. If you're drinking milk because of its calcium content, now you know that there are better sources of calcium, like vegetables. And the other thing, too, is when we're looking to stay healthy, unlike what the government, again, is telling you, the government's on their food pyramid says high intakes of carbohydrates and low intakes of fat, and just the reverse of what they should be. And when you do that, that also undermines your health. So what are the recommendations here? So you cut back on milk, you want to cut back on sugars, grains, artificial sweeteners and additives, and low-fat foods, because when you say low-fat foods, another way of saying that is high carbohydrate foods. And the reason you want to cut back on all those foods is that they fuel inflammation and support weight gain, and that leads to all the chronic health problems that we suffer from in this country. And don't be afraid to use salt, but you have to use the right kind, not the sodium chloride that your regular table salt. No, you want to get unrefined sea or mineral salt, because they come with many minerals, not just the sodium chloride. So I've had discussions with patients after I talked to them about these recommendations, and it's the universal response is what's left to eat. And that's where the next step I recommend is intermittent fasting, and that's extremely important. And what we're talking about there is eating within an 8-hour window every day, giving your body, therefore, 16 hours to repair itself and to return to baseline so that all your bodily functions are back to normal. If you eat, over a 12-hour period or even longer, as some people do, you don't give your body enough time after finishing the processing of food to return to baseline, and that's where you set up more problems. And when you do intermittent fasting, basically you're really cutting back to about 2 meals a day. It's a lot easier to make healthy choices there. More fruit, more vegetables. Fruits you have to be careful of because, again, they're a source of sugar. But more vegetables, some protein, healthy fats, avocados, olive oil, things like that. You know, I commented, you know, that butter, of course, is better than margarine. In fact, margarine should never be used. But what are you going to put the butter on? So you don't want to put it on bread, obviously, but you could use it on, sometimes you put a little butter on vegetables. The other carbohydrates you need to think about cutting back on are potatoes and rice. A lot of people eat a lot of that. When you make those little changes, a lot of your health issues disappear. Now, I'll give you an example. I had a patient yesterday, and we just did a few tests because he didn't have insurance, so we just did the basic test. But one additional test that I think, if I had to pick the most important test after your basics, would be a fasting insulin level, and his was very high, even though his blood sugar was completely normal. His fasting blood sugar was normal, but his insulin levels were very high. And you have to have that checked, because that's going to make you aware of issues, because he's not aware of anything going wrong. The doctor says blood sugar's okay, you don't have diabetes. A few years down the line, he'll say, oh, you have diabetes now. But he could have warned the patient, if he did that test, to say you need to make the changes now so you can prevent the development of adult onset or non-insulin dependent diabetes, which is the most common form, which makes up 90% of all diabetics. In other words, what happens is you no longer can make enough insulin to control your blood sugar, so then the doctor gives you medications to help the pancreas squeeze out more insulin, and that works for a while until you might eventually actually need to take insulin. But all you had to do is be made aware years in advance that you're on the road to diabetes, make the changes, and all that disappears. Now, insulin resistance is the overarching problem when it comes to other conditions like high blood pressure, high cholesterol. And it might be that since the pharmaceutical industry makes so much money treating those conditions, high blood pressure and high cholesterol, you know, they're not focusing on identifying people and preventing the need or preventing the development of high blood pressure or high cholesterol. And all you have to do is change your eating habits and remember intermittent fasting. Time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. And hopefully after the break, we'll be joined by Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Jana Juice gives you the antioxidant protection that is so important to support the health of your cells. Two easy-to-swallow capsules help to minimize the damage from free radicals, helps to energize on a cellular level, helps to enhance your immune response, all with two capsules per day. Go to janazon.com to learn more. JANAZON.com.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Are you feeling bloated? Take a Janagest. Dealing with a little bit of indigestion? Take a Janagest. Had something to eat that you shouldn't have eaten? Take a Janagest. Be certain that you are absorbing the nutrients from all the good foods you're eating with Janagest. Easy to swallow, great to establish good digestion. Janagest, available at Dr. Herb Slavin's office, the Institute of Advanced Medicine.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. And joining me sometime this morning will be Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And I want to switch topics now. We're in August, and pretty soon the flu season will be upon us. And they're all already bringing out this year's flu shot. And in England, the health authorities have just approved a new seasonal flu vaccine that contains four influenza virus strains. Usually, you have three. So the question is, will this be any more effective or safe? And we ask that question year after year. And year after year, we never see the statistics of that year's influenza epidemics that they're trying to prevent. But here's what some people report. In general, flu vaccines are dangerous and largely useless. And adding a fourth strain to the typical three strains contained in these shots only increases the health risk associated with receiving them. And why is that? That's because there are many influenza viruses out there. And if you're just targeting four of them in this case, the odds that you're going to get it right is not very good. But here's the other problem. These viruses can mutate or change from year to year. So you really have no way of predicting. And as we know, vaccine makers have been wrong in their guesses in the past, leading to millions of people receiving flu shots that were completely useless in preventing the flu. But the risks associated with getting the shots were still there. They say it happened at least four times in the past 12 years. And interestingly enough, flu deaths did not increase during the years when the experts missed the mark with their guesses. It's kind of interesting, right? So, you know, that reminds me of a report that came out when the doctors in Los Angeles, this is several years ago, went on strike. The deaths in hospitals actually went down when the doctors were on strike. But here, when you had the flu vaccine that was known not to work, there was no change in the number of deaths from the flu during those years. Now, in a scientific review of over 50 studies involving 260,000 children between the ages of 6 and 23 months, because now they recommend the flu shot for that age group, they didn't uncover any evidence that young children benefited from the flu vaccine. The study showed that the flu vaccine was no more effective than a placebo. Yet at the same time, as we all know, there are certain risks associated with vaccinations, such as infection, adverse immunological responses, and even death. So now there's a controversy about the components of the flu vaccine, because they contain mercury at levels far above the maximum allowable daily exposure limit. Many of them contain formaldehyde and detergents, in addition to the viruses that they put in there. And we know for a fact that mercury can lead to nervous system damage, memory loss, attention deficit disorders, and many other serious negative health effects. We know for a fact that formaldehyde can cause cancer, blindness, and brain damage, but they've never really done the studies specific to vaccinations. Health officials exaggerate the effectiveness of the flu vaccine while playing down their dangers. And this is the number we hear every year. made by the Center for Disease Control, they say before the season starts, up to 36,000 people will die from the flu. And after the season, they never give you the actual count. But the CDC's own records show that only a few hundred people actually die from the flu each year. And many of those deaths involve elderly people and those with pre-existing conditions or weakened immune systems. Now, there is a unanswered question about the flu shot regarding some of the potential side effects like nerve damage. And they're mentioning Alzheimer's disease and autism. And you can research this all you want, and you'll find reports coming down on both sides of the issue, saying it's perfectly safe, and other sides saying it's not. And perhaps this might explain how they come up with the answer to that question, whether or not the flu vaccines are safe. Flu vaccine makers make billions in profits, and the regulatory agencies that are supposed to protect the public have been infiltrated by the pharmaceutical companies who have a stake in the profits. So, for those of you who lean toward not getting a flu vaccine, you could take this advice, strengthen your own natural immunity. There are various herbs, natural supplements, and foods rich in antioxidants like vitamin C. And let me go back to the topic I was talking about earlier about you know, avoiding milk and other foods like grains, you know, carbohydrates. They all undermine your immune system. Switch to a healthier diet, and then the your own immune system will be able to take care of you. So in this particular report that I'm referring to, they finish up by saying, don't believe what the CDC and the pharmaceutical companies tell you. The truth is that flu vaccines are unnecessary and dangerous, and the more strains they contain, the greater the risk. Now, what I would look for to dispute that statement is show me the studies. The long-term studies on vaccines, including the flu vaccine, that shows how safe they are. Because what happens is, you know, you get a vaccine, you're accumulating these, it's not just the viruses, but the other ingredients in the vaccine you need to be concerned of, and you're accumulating them over time. And the problems may arise years later, and it's very difficult to connect it. So there are some who think that some of the ingredients in these vaccines, like formaldehyde, which is a carcinogen, and mercury. Now, in the vaccines, they don't call it mercury. They call it thimerosal. But we know that mercury is one of the most poisonous substances known to man. It's a potent neurotoxin, as I mentioned earlier, associated with a host of neurological and immune system problems. So why are we actually injecting that into people? It doesn't make any sense. So they say that it's the chronic exposure, if you're taking these vaccines year after year, and the accumulation of substances like formaldehyde and mercury in your body, that may lead to the side effects you see. Now, there was a report by a world-renowned immunogeneticist by the name of Dr. Yu Feudenberg. And he found that people 55 years of age and older who got a flu vaccine for 5 years straight increased their risk of Alzheimer's by 10 times. Another connection between flu shots and Alzheimer's was made by Dr. Boyd Haley. And he's out of the University of Kentucky, and he stated 7 of the characteristic markers that we look for to distinguish Alzheimer's disease can be produced in normal brain tissue or cultures of neurons or brain tissue by the addition of extremely low levels of mercury. And still, you're going to hear this when we get into flu season. The American Academy of Obstetrics and Gynecology recommends flu shots for pregnant women, calling it essential. The flu vaccine has not been properly studied in pregnant women. I mean, that's a fact. So how can we take the chance? You know, there are so many products out there and prescription drugs, and they'll always say, when you read the labels on it, do not give to pregnant women. Why do they say that? They don't know that it's dangerous or not. It just hasn't been studied, so they're going to err on that side. I just haven't seen the study giving the flu shot to pregnant women and the effect on the fetus. Now, here's the other thing. I'm sure you've heard this one. Those who promote the flu shot promise you'll cut your risk of getting the flu by 50%. But the real facts are that the vaccine is probably 97% ineffective. If you decide to take a flu shot, you can lessen your chances of harm by choosing a vaccine that doesn't contain mercury. Some of them do, some of them don't. Since thimerosal is used only as a preservative in multi-dose vials, what that means is the doctor can stick a needle into the vial more than once to draw up the vaccine. So what you want to do is avoid the mercury and ask for a single-dose vial, so it's one dose per vial. So, I mean, that's an option, but I think there's a better option than that. And we always get back to the same recommendations. Eat a healthy diet. Avoid refined foods, especially sugar. Keep hydrated, and I think that's important, especially in Florida. In other words, drink enough water. So one recommendation is to take your weight and divide by 2, and that'll tell you about how many ounces to drink every day. And then make sure you're taking enough vitamin C. And I can tell you that we check vitamin C levels, and the majority of people are very low in vitamin C. At least 3 to 5,000 milligrams a day. And you may want to go up as high as 10,000 milligrams if you become sick. And don't forget vitamins A and D, iodine, and alpha-lipoic acid. And one last thing, make sure you wash your hands. You can spread the flu that way. But I want to say that if you take vitamin C, it's water soluble. Spread that amount over many doses throughout the day instead of taking it only once or twice. Now it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Seifert. And hopefully after the break, Janice and Burley will join us. Time for a break. We'll be right back.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauder Hill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Herb Slavin from the Institute of Advanced Medicine. I want to bring you up to date with another advancement in our testing capability, and that's called Integrated Genetic Solutions. And I welcome you to go to our website, drslavin.com, to the drop-down menu under Functional Medicine, to look at Integrated Genetic Solutions. It combines the power of blood testing with the power of knowing your genetics in order to determine the best levels of supplements and hormones to take.
For information on the Institute of Advanced Medicine, go to drslavin.com.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us now is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
How are all the people doing at the weigh-in?
Well, it was very, very interesting because we do have big winners. I'm going to say the most successful was probably down 6 pounds over the 6 week period that we had. And then there were some people who unfortunately had issues with vacation and companies staying with them and some very stressful issues, and they had gotten off to a good start, but then kind of were thrown off center. So, but overall, the most successful one was down 6 pounds from the start of the program, which I thought was excellent. It would be just about a pound a week.
All right. I've seen people do better than that, though.
Yes, I know, but I'm also going to say that we had a July 4th holiday weekend during that time frame, so there were some interferences.
Well, if they keep it up, that's 50 pounds in a year, so that would be good. Janet, I was talking... You probably didn't get a chance to hear the beginning of the program. You know, I started off just talking about milk and how that's the way it's sold in the stores, highly processed. You're being fooled into thinking it's a health food. And then we got into the flu vaccine, and we're coming up on the flu season, so I thought people should be reminded a little bit about that. And then the concerns about some of the ingredients in the flu vaccine, like mercury and formaldehyde, because some people say that's the reason why some people think there may be a connection to Alzheimer's and the flu vaccine. I think there may be another connection, and it may be related. Interestingly, in my opinion, you know, they say, well, we're giving people the flu vaccine to help the individual develop antibodies so when the flu strikes, they'll be ready to fight it off. And I think that may happen, it may not happen, but I think the taking any vaccine actually stresses your immune system and may allow viruses and other bacteria to become a little more active. And now I'm going to refer to a report that came out in March of this year with an international group of 31 Alzheimer's researchers had published an editorial urging the science world to change its focus when it comes to Alzheimer's disease. And the reason they want to do this, they say, look, how long are we going to keep doing the same old thing? In other words, all those failed attempts to treat and prevent the disease to no avail. I mean, nothing has changed. And we can say that about a lot of illnesses that we treat. Nothing has changed. It's time to reassess the evidence that Alzheimer's could be spread by microbes. Now, we've mentioned this before, and perhaps maybe we're mislabeling people with dementia as having Alzheimer's. Maybe we just should call it dementia from an infection. So what they're saying here is, for the first time, scientists have suspected that viruses or bacteria could play a role in causing Alzheimer's. They find that when looking at previous studies, that people with Alzheimer's tend to be more likely to be infected with certain microbes. Now, microbes are a general term that encompasses any infectious agent, including fungus. But they haven't been able to nail it down per se What they do say is that when they look at the brains of Alzheimer's patients, they see a buildup of that amyloid plaque that you've heard about. And when the amyloid plaque becomes great enough, it leads to memory loss and cognitive decline and eventually death. So that's what they're saying, that infections may be the real cause. And then the question comes up, could all these vaccines be a contributing factor here? Now, according to the editorial...
Very interesting perspective.
According to the editorial, they say there have been around 100 papers published on the link between the herpes simplex virus 1 and Alzheimer's alone, just that one virus. And we started testing people for all these various viruses and bacteria, and I can tell you, they are very prevalent, but the patients are not sick. So they're just harboring all these viruses. So you could say they're carriers. I don't think they're infectious per se, because the immune system is keeping them in check. But what happens when the immune system becomes challenged or overstressed? A good example is when you overstress an immune system that's keeping the chickenpox virus or the herpes zoster virus in check, you develop shingles. So, I mean, you know, that's the possibility. The reason we know about shingles is because you get a very distinctive rash and you know exactly what happened. But when you get an activation of these other bacterial viruses in your body, you don't have a rash to tell you, aha, you know, it's an activation of the virus. You may develop arthritic pains, high blood pressure, heart issues. You see, that's the dilemma. And of course, according to these editorials, you may develop dementia. And so it's just something to think about. And they, you know, some of, there have been other bacteria. The H. pylori has been associated with Alzheimer's disease. So it's really kind of interesting, and certainly an area that nobody talks about, and whether that, you know, that's true to say or not, nobody is talking about it, and therefore nobody is doing anything about it. And I just wonder, you know, again, what can you do about it? You keep your body as healthy as possible. And Janet, earlier in the show, I said the recommendations to keep your body as healthy as possible is not that difficult. It really, recommendation is simple. Cut out sugars, grains, artificial sweeteners, and additives. In other words, look at the label. Don't eat anything artificial. Eat low, cut out low-fat foods, because that's another way of saying high-carbohydrate foods. Because all these those types of foods lead to inflammation and weight gain and chronic health problems. So now your weigh-ins every week, are they over with for now?
Today was the last weigh-in. Yes.
Did the person that lost the 6 pounds tell you what they did?
Well, we have over time established an exercise routine that's suitable for each one of the individuals. So some of the people are doing walking, and so the recommendation to enhance the benefits associated with that time spent walking is comfortable pace for a number of paces, and then as fast as you can for 10 paces, then a comfortable pace, then so that interval training technique, but used with a walking pattern. And the some of the more focused individuals were actually enrolling in CrossFit. And CrossFit being so incredibly challenging, but that I'm saying the most incredible method of reshaping your body. And it was interesting because, unfortunately, those people who were beginning with the CrossFit weren't necessarily the winners on the scale, but we could see the changes in their body shape based on their clothing. So the CrossFit is going to be enhancing muscle density, which weighs more than fat, and consequently they weren't among the winners with the contest for losing the most number of pounds, but they were extremely happy with the benefits that they saw on how their clothing fit. So clothing that they were not necessarily, let's say, able to button the top button in a pair of slacks, they are now seeing that those pants are loose. So in their thighs, around their waist, the exercise, particularly the CrossFit, was achieving remarkable results. And then there were some people who were paying attention to their fasting glucose levels in the morning, and one of the benefits there was greater stability and very gradually reducing the number. Not a dramatic reduction in the number, but maintaining a steady level, and in an under 110 range, which for people who are diabetic on medication, under 110 and very, very stable blood sugar, I think that's a win.
Now, besides exercise, did they change their diets at all?
So many of the people struggled with the dietary changes, so we talked about the number of different approaches to be supportive of weight loss without disturbing what is comfortable for them with their food. And so some of them, what we're working on, would have been getting away from snacking and understanding certain combinations of foods see you through to your next meal. So sometimes the protein and vegetable combination was successful, and very gradually we're trying to achieve correct amounts to be consumed at each meal. One of the areas that was discussed, Dr. Slavin, is an area that I know is a favorite of yours and very supportive of achieving optimal weight, and that is intermittent fasting, so that you're eating in an 8-hour window. So we were talking about that. Then we were talking about Timothy Ferris's book, The 4-Hour Body. I tell people half the people love the recommendations, half the people really have a struggle to stay with his recommendations. But Timothy Ferris's approaches are unusual, they're unique, they are his tried and true approaches, but not everyone can use them.
Janet, just goes to show you, habits are difficult to break. I guess that's why they call them habits. That music tells us it's time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Have you had an asthma attack? Has your breathing suffered? There's a perfect intravenous solution. One treatment per week for 4 weeks, and then testing the results. The continuing schedule would be based on your personal needs. Every 6 treatments, there's an additional IV with B12, B6, B complex, and magnesium. What a concept! Nourish your respiratory system and achieve normalized function of your lungs. The idea that providing the nutrients works to enhance function, getting to the underlying cause of hypersensitivity to certain triggers, and then minimizing that overreaction to triggers. That's the focus of the health-supporting IV treatments for asthma and respiratory conditions at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. Come see me, Janet Cimarelli, and discuss your breathing issues. 954-748-4991.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And Janet, this was published today that President Obama signs a bill that forever exempts Big Food from placing GMO labels on food packages. So in other words, it's not that they're not labeling the packages, but they're not labeling them so you can read them. You know, they're putting it in a digital code on the package. So you'll have to have a smartphone to decipher that code. And that just, you know, I think proves our point that genetically modified foods are reasons for concern because they're trying to hide that fact from you. And this was a bipartisan effort, too. It was a Republican and a Democrat bringing this bill to President Obama. So
it's very interesting, Dr. Slavin, that there's probably something that Republicans and Democrats can agree on, that they're supporting this approach that genetic modification the GMOs in our food, it's okay, not a problem. We're going to feed the world. And the mistaken belief and the unscientific information being brought to the media supporting this mistaken belief is that by using genetic modification, you're going to enhance the yield of a specific crop. And what we've been seeing that, no, indeed, the yields have not gone up dramatically. And that, yes, indeed, these foods have been oversaturated with all manner of chemicals as used as pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides.
Now, the upshot of this, they say, this is a huge win for the food and chemical industry because never again will they have to spend large sums of money defeating labeling at the state level, as was done previously in California, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington. See, those states wanted to have the labels clearly spelled out, and they had to spend hundreds of million dollars to fight that. Never again will they bear the responsibility or fear of having to place on-package GMO labels, which would have surely caused substantial losses in revenue. The biotech industry will also be exempted from labeling gene-edited foods, which, just like GMOs, are altered to withstand noxious herbicides that would normally result in plant death.
Very interesting information. And so now let's look at the bright side. What a boon to the organic aspect of the food industry, because the only way that you'll be able to ascertain for certain that you're not being exposed to genetic modification would be choosing organic foods. And then I'm going to say, okay, are we being led down the garden path here? Because I will use rapeseed and ultimately canola oil as an example. Rapeseed is a genetically modified organism, and the oil from the rapeseed is known as canola oil. And the canola oil has in certain stores an organic label on it. So it means that the genetically modified seed has been raised in an organic fashion. So there seems to be a little bit of trickster behavior there.
Well, and here's a quote by candidate Obama. He said, here's what I'll do as president. I'll immediately implement country of origin labeling because Americans should know where their food comes from. And we'll let folks know whether their food has been genetically modified because Americans should know what they are buying. And that was stated in 2007. But instead, he perpetuated the conflict of interest between powerful industries and government regulators by appointing a former Monsanto executive as the head of the Food and Drug Administration. And rather than labeling GMOs, he made it easier so that, you know, they don't have to show up on a label. You have to decipher it with a smartphone. So, you know, it isn't, and we have no way of holding our elected officials accountable for what they tell us, what they say and what they do are always two different things. And who knows whether it'll change or not, but avoid GMOs altogether, and buy, get your own organic vegetables. Have you ever heard of the Garden Tower, Janet?
Yes, I have. And it's interesting because I visited an individual's home just last week, and they have multiple garden towers and were growing a number of different vegetables and herbs.
Now, if you can picture this, it's a vertical grow box that produces healthy food without the need of chemical fertilizers or any kind of pesticides. And you can grow up to 50 food-producing plants in about 4 square feet of space, making it the perfect solution for the urban dweller. Johnny, you think the county will come down on people doing that, saying you can't grow your own food?
We obviously have to cover our grow towers with camouflage netting to prevent being arrested.
Janet's not being facetious, because we spoke about this yesterday, how in some municipalities they don't let you collect rainwater for your own use, and they made people give up their organic garden that they were growing food for their own use. So we need to be aware of all these things, because if we're not, they'll continue taking more and more of our freedoms away.
It just seems as though this is a ludicrous discussion, that how could it possibly be true that a county can prevent someone from growing an organic garden? It's just seems so absurd.
Well, it does, and but we figured out what they're afraid of, because if everybody started growing their own food and collecting their own water and being self-sufficient like that, it would be bad for the economy, or bad for business, or bad for the government, probably. So, you really need to become more aware of what's going on. And how the government is just trying to control every aspect of our lives. You know, they control health care. Think about it. Think about your decisions when it comes to health care, and how much of those decisions are based on either the government or your insurance companies telling you what's covered and what's not. You know,
Dr. Slavin, do you believe that it was in the minds of the legislators, in the mind of Lyndon Johnson when he signed Medicare into law, that it was a first step incursion into overall government interference and power over the medical industry?
I didn't think so at the time, but in hindsight I do, because their basic rule of thumb is just to control as much as they can. So they knew that by implementing Medicare, they were gaining greater control over the public.
It's interesting to me because in implementing Medicare, initially it did not necessarily include drug use coverage, and now that is kind of an expected perk of having certain types of health insurance, Medicare included, and that I think big corporations took a look at the provisions in this Medicare law and said, wow, we've got a wide open door here. We need to begin exploiting that open door.
And that was certainly true. And we've just run out of time. I'd like to thank all of our listeners. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And we'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.